Back in Romans 3, finishing up the chapter today. And the gospel, we remember the Romans up till this point. Romans 1, the gospel and the wrath of God, outward versus inward religion in Romans 2, very important. And as we've seen, Paul is building a case. Outward versus inward religion, which is the case he's building. It's so important. We get it when we're looking into the scriptures and we talk about the Jewish people and their legalistic tendencies and things, and we get that, right? And it's true. It's all in the gospel, isn't it? As Jesus was pressing that point with the Jewish people, he was pointing out their error, and they hated him for it and eventually killed him because they hated him, because he was calling out the hypocrisy of their religion. And so as we sit up here in 2023, we can look back and say, man, those Jews, what is wrong with them? They're so legalistic. It's not just written for them, though, is it? It's something that's really relevant today. It's for us as well to think through, how much do I rely on just my outward religion? How much do I rely on family tradition or my nationality or those kinds of things? It's very important. And it's only those who are in Christ, who have been changed by his Spirit, that are born again. It's very important to get that. It's not just a story. This is something we should grapple with. I'm afraid, living in this fallen and broken world, I'm afraid that there are going to be, there are going to be many people who were religious, who followed some creed and went their whole life and thought that they were okay, and they land in hell when they die. That's terrifying. It's terrifying to think of. We looked at chapter 3 a couple weeks on the doctrines of sin, and we'll return there very briefly today, just for setup. But the doctrines of sin: everyone is a sinner, none are righteous, literally no one is righteous, all are under sin, none are righteous, not even one. Every human is guilty. No one will be justified by their own goodness. 3:20, we'll come back to that today. Sin is our greatest problem. All have sinned. Sin is our greatest problem. And all the other problems of mankind are because of that. And we have this commentary right here on just humanity in general. You know, you'd like to be able to write that off and say, well, that's those other guys. But it's pretty clear, isn't it? None righteous, not one, no one understands, no one seeks God, all have turned aside. It's very sad. That's a bleak commentary on humanity. And we have today, then, the answer to that problem in the rest of the chapter. So join me. We'll pray for God's help in unpacking this passage, and look forward to this is an encouraging finish to this chapter, which starts out so, wow, you know, so heavy. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word, and thank you for the book of Romans. It's so wonderful, so good, so helpful, so encouraging. Thank you for the grace that you give us every day in a broken world. And we know that in the grand scheme of things, our lives are completely irrelevant. We know that in the plan of your redemption and building your church, that we are unnecessary parts. We're thankful that you choose to use us, but you don't need us. There's nothing we have to provide. You've got everything you need and more, and that you're doing your will and it will happen. But you've included us, and we're thankful for that. It's wonderful to know that. Thank you, God, that you've chosen us and called us and planted us here and given us your word so that we can know you and know you well. And I pray that this would be a rich time in your word. We pray that you bless our study in the book of Romans in general and help us to make good, practical, and personal application to these truths we're learning. In Jesus' name, amen. Read along with me and we will dig in. What then what advantage has the Jew, or what is the value of circumcision? Much in every way. To begin with, the Jews were trusted with the oracles of God. What if some were unfaithful? Does their unfaithfulness nullify the faithfulness of God? Well, by no means. Let God be true, though everyone were a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you're judged. But if our unrighteousness serves to show the righteousness of God, what shall we say? That God is unrighteous to inflict wrath on us? I speak in the human way. By no means. For then how could God judge the world? But if through my lie God's truth abounds to his glory, why am I still being condemned as a sinner? And why not do evil that good may come, as some slanderously charge us with saying? Their condemnation is just. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all, for we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it's written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, they use their tongues to deceive. Venom of asps is under their lips, their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It's excluded. By what kind of law? By law of works? No. But by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one who will justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Wow, that is such an awesome chapter. And just finishing it out today, well, there's so much more we could even unpack in this today. Past, present, and future justification in here. There's all kinds of wonderful things. Sin and justice today. Sin and justice. So we talked about sin over the last couple weeks. Sin creates a penalty. The penalty must be dealt with to create justice. And sin is mankind's greatest problem. All have sinned. That sin separates us from God, and all of our other problems are a result of that sin. Sickness, suffering, death, the broken world, the fact that work is hard, interpersonal problems, a lack of love, hatred, selfishness, all of that is a result of sin. And again, we have that biting commentary right here, none is righteous. You know, it's hard to even read that. Their throat is an open grave, and this is just God's view of mankind in general. It's terrible. God's justice then, we know that whatever the law speaks, it speaks to those under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable. So we've got our issue, we've got sin, and then what is the problem with sin? Well, the problem with sin, the main problem with sin, there's all the tertiary problems. The main problem with sin is there's an accountability. There's justice, and it has to be paid, that sin has to be paid for. Everyone is accountable. Not just other people or the worst of people, but sin has a penalty. It's a crime against God that must be punished. No human will be justified by any standard of good. It's not possible. There's no standard of good that any human could keep that would allow them to be justified by that standard. So all humanity, every human being ever born, past, present, and future, are all doomed to hell. Every single one. The penalty for sin is eternity separated from God in hell. And so that's very serious. right? And you could not overstate that. It's just the only real problem that we need to make sure that we deal with in this life. All have sinned. So God did what we could not do. And he has an answer in this chapter for our sin problem and quite honestly, the rest of the book of Romans. But now, okay, so you got the but. All of sin, sin problem, mankind's problem of sin, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. We have a terrible problem. Well, what's the problem? The problem is that you're going to be judged because there's a penalty for sin. That sin lands you in hell. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. And we'll pick this apart a little bit because it's pretty rich. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. So it's appeared apart from the law, although we should have seen this righteousness in the law. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. So this is God's answer to our greatest problem. You know, and I think it would do us at least a little bit of good to just stop for a second and just be thankful. You know, and as we've been studying up to this point, it's a bleak picture. It's bleak. There's no answer. We're lost. We're all accountable. We're doomed to hell. We have nothing in us that can make us good enough. And we get to this and it says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested. God took action where we were stuck, where we were lost, where we were hopeless. He came and he answered our problem. And thank God for that, right? He gives us an assurance in contrast. Now we know, right? Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks. But now the righteousness of God has been, and in contrast, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but now the righteousness of God has been, now we know. So God speaks this hope into our hopeless situation. And there are three important phrases. I say they're key phrases, but they're very important phrases in this passage. The righteousness of God, in other words, perfect righteousness. Now the righteousness of God. So it's not just any old righteousness. We're talking again this morning in class about how weird language is. You know, language shifts and everything. This clarifies it for us, not just what people think is righteous, but this is the actual righteousness of God. And it has been manifested, so that means to see it, it's appeared or it's been shown, it's been brought out into the open, now we can understand it, apart from law or through faith. So this has been manifested, the righteousness of God has been shown to us or given to us, and it is apart from the law. And that, again, is very important. God's hope in our hopeless situation. So first of all, let's see if I have it up there. First of all, the righteousness of God. That is perfect righteousness, or probably a good way to say it is actual righteousness, right? The righteousness that comes only from God. It is holy perfection. It means that a person is completely right. It's not just an idea of righteousness, but it's actual perfect righteousness or perfect holiness. And it comes from God. It proceeds from him, and he's the only one that can give it to us. It is what we call imputed righteousness. And there's a reason for that. There's a simple reason for that, is that we don't have any righteousness as humans. We have nothing that we can build on or nothing that we can add or nothing we can attain. And so we need something put on to us. That's what imputed means. It's been put on to you. It's been accounted to you or accredited to you. And so this righteousness is the righteousness of God given to you. Critically important. Imputed. This is where God counts or imputes you as righteous. God declares you, if you will, righteous. And that righteousness is based on the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's not a made-up righteousness. Jesus came and lived a perfect life. And there's that great exchange in salvation where he takes your sin and gives you his righteousness. That's what we're talking about there. This is the righteousness of God. Another important part is that this is God's righteousness and not your own. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. I have no idea why, but the world just runs on a completely arrogant and legalistic standard. Everybody thinks they're good enough. Everybody thinks that they're fine. And by the way, it's weird because then everyone else is wrong and everyone else is bad, right? How does that make any sense to anyone? Well, I'm good. Those other people are bad. Like Paul Tripp said, I have a problem when I start marital counseling. Two people come in, their whole lives are upside down, and neither one of them have sinned. You know, it's like, well, okay, what happened then, right? You know, something's wrong here. Something's not being understood right. It's not your righteousness. You know, by works of the law, no human will be justified in his sight. So we have to get that. And, you know, maybe you're like me and you think, man, when the Apostle Paul was a Jewish Pharisee and he knew the law and he knew so much and he was serving God, that's why God used him, because all God had to do was take him and then add Jesus to that. And in Philippians 3, Paul said, I had to throw all that stuff in the garbage, start over. Paul's righteousness was not helpful, right? Because by Paul's righteousness, he would not be justified. Isn't that important? And one of the most righteous, self-righteous people that has ever lived, and it was garbage. It did not justify him. This is God's righteousness, and that's the one that we need. We don't need more goodness of ourselves. We don't need more gooder. Do better, do more, do this, do that. We need God. We need Christ. We need what he provides. And that's humbling. That's what we need. So God's righteousness, the righteousness of God, has been manifested. Now, I hate show of hands in church, but show of hands, how many people said manifested this week in normal conversation? Not too often, right? We don't say manifested in normal conversation. It means to bring to light. It means to show. It means to bring it out into the open. It means to make it known. It means to make it understood. It's literally to show it, if you will, the simplest. But it's been revealed. And this means that God is revealing his plan of forgiveness for mankind. God showing how you can be right from him. The righteousness of God is not hidden. It's shown. It's clearly shown. We know about it. We have the scriptures. We have plenty of witness in this world. God showing how we can be right with him. And that's important, isn't it? God's will can be known. There's a lie of the world, isn't there? Well, I mean, you hear the atheist. What are you going to tell God when you die and you find out he's real? Well, I'm going to tell him he needed to give me a lot more evidence. No, you're not. No, you're going to fall on your face. You're going to fall on your face. You're not going to be saying anything. You have plenty of evidence. There's way enough evidence. God has given us way more than we deserve. He's given us specific evidence and knowledge of how we can be right with him. His plan has been shown. And the same language, interestingly, is used of Jesus. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory. The glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We've seen it. He came. He's been revealed. We see God now. He revealed himself through Christ. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh. He was shown. He was brought to light. He was put out on public display so we could all see him. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up into glory. God is revealed in Jesus. And specifically, God's redemptive plan for man can be clearly seen in Jesus. There's no excuse. It's the righteousness of God we need. How do we get that? It's been revealed in Jesus. We know him, but through Jesus. And again, apart from the law or through faith, but the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. And it's very specific and important distinction is made there. It speaks of how we receive forgiveness of our sins and how we don't. By God's grace through faith or trust in Jesus Christ is the only way to receive forgiveness of our sins or to be right with God. It has to be apart from the law. And again, humanly speaking, that's why so many people struggle with it. It's humanly speaking counterintuitive, because the world works on a reward system. If you provide something, you have value. If you add something, then people value you. And so we think that everything should work that way. Well, I have to add value. I have to prove myself to God, or I have to be better or whatever. It's just not the case. It's not the case. In fact, it's upside down. It's backwards. We come to God in humility his way, and then God gives us the grace to be pleasing to him and to do the work that he has for us. It's apart from the law, this salvation. We can't work our way into heaven. No one is going to get to heaven on their own merits or goodness. No one is right with God currently based on how good they are, what they've done, or what they can do. It's apart from the law. And never by good works or good deeds. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. There's no person that ever measured up or ever will. It's not going to happen. It can't happen. What then becomes of our boasting? Talking about the Jewish people again, right? What's our boasting then? Paul tells us, you don't have any. You got nothing to brag about, right? Think about it. You know, let your mind think about it. The Jewish people, they bragged all the time. Well, we're God's chosen people. What are you talking about? Right? Of course he's going to accept us. We're descendants of Abraham. Why, we've never been enslaved to anyone. While they were currently enslaved, by the way, right? Yeah, isn't that weird how people are? It's all about boasting. What becomes our boasting? You can't come to God through the law. What kind of law? Works? No. Faith. Paul comes back to again. By faith. We come to God by faith and through his grace. The righteousness of God through faith for all who believe. Received by faith. To be received by faith. It was to show his righteousness at the present time that he might be just the justifier of the one who has faith. Faith in Jesus, by the way, right? Because a lot of people have faith, but they have faith in the wrong thing or the wrong person. Has to be Jesus. Through faith in Jesus. And this is a little harder even for people, but it has to be the actual Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible, the Son of God, the Jesus that took on flesh and came and died for our sins, not some heretical Jesus. Actual Jesus, through faith in Jesus Christ. 28, by faith, justified by faith, apart from the law. 30, by faith, through faith. I get the point. How about you? Right? Right? Isn't that true? It's important. Paul is driving this for us, that this is the point. We have to come to God. We need his righteousness. We have to come to him by faith. So Jesus is God's answer to all of our problems. People like to, you know, life is complicated, and we like to think about complicated things and the difficulties of life and all, you know. And, well, the Bible doesn't tell me how to change the oil in my car and all this. And yeah, it does. It tells you to change oil in your car by faith and by grace, right? To do it unto God and to do it to please God. This is the biggest problem we have, is sin. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is God's answer. And you come to him by faith. He is how we are justified. Our terrible and pervasive sin problem is taken care of in Jesus. We are sinners with no escape from that fate. But in Jesus, he has paid for every sin already, right? They are justified by his grace as a gift, a free gift, just something that you received. The law brings out pride, but faith brings justification. Self-righteousness exalts you. It brings pride. Faith, humility, brings justification. Trusting in your own works might make you feel superior to someone else, but it condemns you. Only faith in Christ brings justification. It's so important. And it's important that God has made a way. He didn't have to. He did it out of his grace. Jesus is how you become righteous. You get his righteousness is the only way. Jesus came to die for the sins of the world. This is clear language, isn't it? I delivered to you as first importance what I also received. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. That's why he came. Very important. And God can justify us because Jesus came. You know, we discussed that in class again today too, you know, thinking, Well, why is it so important that God poured out his wrath on Jesus? Why didn't God just say, it's okay, right? Just forgive. I'll just forgive, which is what people in the world think he should have done. No, because God is not only a forgiver, he's also just. Someone had to pay. Jesus volunteered. It was him. He paid. And so he's the only way. His righteous life becomes your righteous life. God sees you with the righteousness of Christ. His punishment or payment of our sins was accepted. God put forward Jesus as a propitiation or a just satisfaction by his blood. So Jesus paid for our sins, and then we can receive his forgiveness by faith or by faith through his grace. God is just to forgive then. It was to show his righteousness at the present time. Isn't that interesting? So since Jesus actually paid, in other words, we think we do, but Jesus actually paid, then we can have his righteousness and forgiveness. God's justice is also satisfied at the cross. It's pretty wonderful. And he has paid for every sin. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the entire world. Every sin, past, present, and future, has been cared for in Christ. And there's no reason for anyone to die in their sins. Now, this is interesting. I just threw this on there. We use this in counseling a lot, and it's helpful for me as well. Why did Jesus come? Well, he came on this rescue mission. He came to save people. But I want you to think about this week and encourage yourself, especially if you are stuck in something. If there's a sin pattern in your life and discouragement is keeping you upside down, remember this. When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." Who goes to the doctor? The people that need a doctor, right? "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." There's this weird idea in the world of religion and, well, you know, God only accepts certain people, and he only accepts the good people or whatever, right? He didn't come for the good, although there are none, right? But people that thought they were good, he came for sinners. If you're struggling with sin, remember, you know what? I'm exactly the person Jesus came for. The things I'm doing, this is why Jesus came. He came for me. He came for this reason, and I don't have to live in shame. I can turn to him for forgiveness. So that's wonderful news. God's answer for sin, again from this chapter: "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift." He gives it to us. That's what grace is. "Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." So it's that him providing that. Jesus providing redemption. It's through him only. Who? Interesting. The sovereignty of God, whom God put forward as a satisfaction, a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith, our part, receiving Christ, receiving him by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, right? Because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. People use that against God. Well, if you're going to judge everybody, why is the world still a mess? Patience. He's passing over those sins, passing them over. There's a day when they're going to be dealt with, right? In between there, you better get right with God, right? You better have Jesus in between there. He passed over those sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, past, present, and then, of course, future because of forgiveness. Past, present, he passed over. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just. And he's just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Wow. Isn't that awesome? So awesome. God's answer for sin. All have sinned, all are justified. There's no distinction. All have sinned, all are justified freely. No distinction. Any person can come to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Justification means to be made right, are justified, declared right, put in a just position, and declared to be righteous before God. And again, it's for all mankind. Is God the God of the Jews only? No, of course not. He's the God of the Gentiles. We use, for the word justification, we use words like salvation. And these are biblical words. Salvation, being born again. Jesus used that in John 3. Eternal life, that's used often, what this justification means. And those are really terms of what you gain. What the actual is going on, though, is called justification. You're being made right through being born again. You're made right with God through faith in Him. And what you earn is heaven forever in the presence of God. That's the result of justification. That's something to chase, amen? And if anybody's on the fence about that or thinking about it or wondering, the end result is heaven forever. And that's pretty awesome. We're currently condemned if we're outside of Christ, and there's nothing that you have to do to stay condemned. You're just condemned until you deal with it. Someone will pay for your sins. Either you'll pay for your sins or you'll take the free gift where Jesus already paid for your sins. Staying in your sins earns you hell forever. Trusting in Christ, you get what He earned. You get heaven forever. Pretty awesome. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's a little bit of condemnation, surely, right? There's none. None. Can your mind even imagine that? No, you know yourself. Can you imagine, because of Christ, that you'll stand before the perfectly holy Creator one day and there will be zero condemnation on you? Zero. Not a negative word. Not a sin, you know, here's your sin debt. Gone, paid. Crazy. Why would God go to such lengths? Wonderful news, isn't it? There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Fulfilled in you. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because Christ fulfilled it. The requirement of the law is fulfilled in you because of Jesus, who walked not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Don't let that confuse you. To walk according to the flesh is to trust yourself. It's not to do more good works. It's to trust yourself. It's to trust your own righteousness. To walk in the Spirit is to, by faith, trust Christ. And you have no condemnation if you're in Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, God, so much for this amazing news. Man, the gospel is so beautiful. God, in a hard week filled with wicked people and horrible experiences, to be reminded of the glory that you have shown us is beyond measure. Thank you. God, use this truth in all of our lives to encourage us this week, to drive us forward seeking and serving you with more zeal, and help us to do your will well. In Jesus' name, amen.